Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We are taking a listen to more audio that we did not know existed until as of late, listening to police interrogation of some of Alec Murtaugh's family. Can you imagine being a Murtaugh this close to Alec and then getting questioned about all of his misdeeds and trying to make heads or tails of any of it? John Marvin is the interview we're about to listen to. And he's been somewhat vocal in this story. He's participated in some of the documentaries and some of the interviews. And I would say, by all accounts, seems like a pretty likable guy. Doesn't really feel like he has a whole lot to hide. I think he's just as baffled as many other people are of the gravity of the situation and the bizarro world that he's living in by the nature of his name alone. But this is an hour in the police car with Sled. This is a few days after the murder of Maggie and Paul. Alec Murtaugh not yet arrested at that moment in time, and I don't believe Alec even technically a key suspect, at least not public facing at that moment in time. But let's go to that police cruiser and take a listen to that conversation between Sled and Alec Murtaugh's brother, John Marvin.
This is Special Agent Ryan Kelly, Special Agent Chandler Horney with the State Law Enforcement Division. It's Thursday, June 10th at 2:01 p.m. We are here with Mr. John Marvin Murtaugh. Mr. Murtaugh, can you please state your full name?
John Marvin Murtaugh.
Can you please state your date of birth and your cell phone number? Okay. Obviously, we are continuing the investigation into the incident and the events of June 7th, 2021. Can we start off by just getting some general information about you? How are you, obviously, you are a Murtaugh, so how are you related to Richard Alex?
He's my brother.
Okay. Had you been at the property that day?
At his property?
At Moselle?
No.
Okay. When was the last time you've been at Moselle?
It's been several months.
Several months? Okay. Okay. And for the purpose of us It's been several months, but you've been to the property, correct?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so one of the reasons that we are reaching out to not just the, we're trying to identify as many persons that have been in contact with the family and with the property, so we can start widening, you know, excluding our search excluding individuals, and so we can kind of start focusing on other things. Where were you at? What are your general whereabouts on June 7th? What were you doing?
June 7th being Monday?
Yes.
Yes, I was at my home.
Okay, okay. And had you had any contact with who do you refer to Richard as? Richard or Alec?
Alec. Okay. Exactly. We call him Alec.
Okay,
Alec. We can't even pronounce his name, so we call him Alec.
Hey, that's fine. That's fine. When was the last, did you have any contact with Alec on Monday?
Monday evening.
Okay. And tell me about that interaction.
Well, I got a phone call from him. My wife and I were watching television. He called me. He was going to check on our mom, whether y'all know or not, who has Alzheimer's dementia. My dad, I had checked him into the hospital that day, and he was checking on her because she's very anxious. And, you know, he was just, you know, calling me to kind of, you know, give me an update. Like we all kind of communicated about that. And we didn't talk long. He, you know, just told me what he was doing.
What time did that call come in?
We were watching television, so I would assume it was probably 8, 9.
Do you have it on your phone? Like, did he call you on that phone?
Yeah, he called me on this phone.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, if he called you on that phone, we could figure out when.
Yeah, you're welcome to look at it and see.
Well, if you just
you tell me how to do that, and or you do it, and you feel free.
Just go to.
Reasons.
Okay, so you've had,
I've had tons of phone calls.
Yeah, 100%. So it's not going to show on there. So,
I'm assuming it was dark outside. It was probably 8, 9 o'clock.
Okay. And how long did y'all talk for? A
couple of minutes at most. I'm embarrassed to say now. I told him we were watching a movie and it.
What movie did y'all watch?
It's a show. I think it's called Billionaire.
Okay. All right. And then, and for the purpose of this interview, what is your wife's name?
Elizabeth. Goes by Liz. And you asked about him. Us talking. He then, of course, called me later. Mm-hmm. Once all this.
Okay. What happened. Time did he call you later?
You know, we were still watching television, so it would have been closer to 10, I would guess.
Okay. And what did he tell you?
Well, that's when he was calling to, you know, just described. He says, John, Paul, and Maggie have been shot, have been hurt. It's just total panic. And he said, please get here as fast as you can.
Okay.
I just got dressed as quick as I could.
Okay. And what did you do then?
Just threw my clothes on and drove to Moselle.
Okay.
So I drove as fast as I could. I mean, I got there as quick as I could.
Okay. And what car did you drive to get over there?
I drove one of Alec's trucks.
Okay. And so what truck did you drive?
Yeah, it was I believe it's an F-250.
Okay.
Diesel truck.
Okay, so you left your house and got over to Alec's.
Well, a little bit more transpired in between. I started driving, obviously I was speeding. A good friend of mine's the chief in Yemisi, and I told him, that's the way I was traveling. The guy said, I said, chief, there's been something bad's happened. I said, please, you know, meet me on the road and help get me there. You know, okay. And of course he did. He put his blue lights on and helped me, you know.
Okay.
You know, we were probably driving 70, 80 miles an hour. I don't know how fast,
okay.
But I was driving fast. And
all right, so you got to Alex's?
No, okay. We got to 63, where you would turn to go. And about halfway down 63, the truck broke down on me.
Okay.
Or ran out of fuel. I noticed it didn't have much in it, but it quit running. And I called Greg, and I said, Greg, listen, man, come back and get me.
All right. And by Greg, you mean?
Alexander, chief of police.
Yeah.
Like I said, he was just in front of me.
Okay.
Escorting me, if you will, if you want to call it that.
So Chief Alexander came back?
He came back, picked me up. I left the truck, and we went straight to Moselle.
Okay. And y'all went straight to Moselle. So what did Chief Alexander do then? Did he stick around with you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. He stayed not just with me, but, you know, he's a close family friend, and he stayed as just his support, not in a official capacity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so when you got there, let's see, you... How often do you interact with Paul?
Quite often.
Okay.
Paul was working for me this summer.
Okay. And in what capacity was Paul working for you?
Just summer work.
Okay. And which company was he working
for? For Murdoch Reynolds in Okotie.
All right. And how long had he been working for you?
He started the Tuesday after Memorial Day. So whatever, remember that day is the second, maybe.
How many employees you got?
We keep somewhere between 10 and 20 employees.
Okay. Do you hire any of Paul's friends?
No, he's the only summer help I hire.
Okay. You have regular employees?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. He's worked for me two, maybe three summers now.
Okay. How was he doing? I mean, now, look, I know that in no way are we trying to speak ill of anybody that's been involved in this, but obviously something has happened of a violent nature that we have to kind of get a better understanding of who these people are.
Right.
And there's no good way to ask.
No, you ask anything you need.
So how was Paul? Was he dependable?
Oh yeah. In that regard, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Did you ever witness any behavior that was?
You talking about bad behavior?
Yeah.
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, he was an asset. He was a joy. I mean, customers loved talking to him.
Okay.
He was probably a lot friendlier than anybody else because we're there. We're doing it every day, and
yes,
he's there for the summer.
Okay.
But, no, not at all.
Was he close with any of the other employees?
No, but very friendly. I mean, you know, everybody loves him. So.
Yeah. Were there any other employees that are kind of his age?
Yes, I have one employee that's probably 2 years, maybe 3 years older than him.
And who's that?
His name is Chance Peters.
Okay. Chance Peters. How long has Chance Peters worked with
him? He's been with me for a few years now.
Okay. Does he live local or does he live?
Well, he was living in the... I think he's got a new house under contract over.
Okay. And if we had to, because, you know, we're trying to reach out to folks that may have been Paul's age and may have had, you know, some knowledge or some interaction with them. If we needed to get a contact number for Chance, you could get that to us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And how did Chance come to work with you?
How did he come about?
Yeah.
One of my employees that I had several years ago, I assume they knew each other socially and indicated he was looking for a job.
Okay. All right. And he's worked here for how many years?
Two, maybe going on three.
All right.
A couple of years.
Okay. So nothing of any concern, I mean, with Paul. Now, let me ask you, were there any issues with Maggie? I mean, how was, did you know of any of her friends that she might have associated with or hung out with? Or?
Well, she's very close with my wife.
Okay.
You know, they communicate regularly. You know, I would, in fact, I may even say that they may have been, or have over the time, have become best of friends.
Okay. And I mean, any concerns? I mean, since this has happened, has your wife spoken of anything that may have been a concern, or?
You know, no. I guess the straightforward answer on that is no. But as you well know, all the media that's been going on and going back and forth. You know, my wife seems to think everything's an issue, and I kind of downplay everything.
Okay. Was there anything that she might have said about? I mean, anything specific? She
was an issue? No. You know. I think Maggie. You're talking about Maggie and telling Liz.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, Liz. I think she was just sick of all the gossip and things that were going on, and you know, she just. You know, be talking about your son and things that they don't know about.
Yeah. No, I understand. And it's very tough for us to, like I said, we understand that y'all are family and y'all are grieving. And in the middle of this, we have to come in and kind of insert ourselves to be like, well, you know, and then start kind of poking around. I know that can...
I mean, it's whatever we can do to help is what we're doing.
Okay. Like I said, so Paul was a good employee. None of his behavior seemed out of sort.
Not at all.
Okay. What about with Maggie? Any weird, any indifferent behavior recently?
I didn't have enough contact with her.
Okay.
You know, I would see Maggie on special occasions. You know, things like that. I didn't communicate with her like my wife does.
Okay. And nothing that has your wife ever said anything that hey something seems off or.
No.
Okay. Do you know if your wife had any communication with Maggie on the 7th?
I don't know if she did, but I'd be willing to bet she did, because I think they communicated every day.
Okay.
But I mean, they by text or telephone.
Your wife hasn't said anything to her specifically?
Didn't say anything to me.
Okay. When was the last time you communicated with Paul?
On Monday. Okay. Monday afternoon.
Okay. And did Paul work that day?
He did.
Okay. What time did you get off work?
Well, we closed at 5. I wasn't there.
Okay.
But so we closed at 5.
What time did Paul go into work?
Well, we opened the doors at 8, and he normally would show up well before 8, 7:30, 7:40, probably 7:45.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that he was there. I wasn't there.
Sure.
Wait a minute. I was there. I was there Monday morning. Okay. I wasn't there Monday afternoon.
Right.
Yeah, he's always on time. Yeah. I mean,
okay. And he worked Monday.
Yes.
Okay, and then you saw him there Monday morning, and then you left. So you were up.
Yeah. So Monday morning, it gets a little bit. So my brother Randy calls me. My dad has a doctor's appointment in Savannah, and long story, he's been battling all kinds of issues, cancers and just got out of the hospital on Sunday, but he has an appointment, a follow-up appointment Monday, and it turns out it's earlier than we anticipated, and I was scheduled to drive him that afternoon. Randy calls me and says, meet me in Ridgeland, I'm going to have Daddy. We'll go swap cars, and you take him on to Savannah.
Okay.
And so we did that. We met at Palmetto Co-op in Ridgeland, and I drove him to Savannah. Doctor's appointment, well, the doctor checks him out and says, man, we got to get you in the hospital. So we spent all afternoon getting him checked into the hospital. As the evening, later in the evening, I probably left Savannah five-ish.
Okay.
In my mom's car, because my brother had given me my mom's car with my dad. My brother took my truck back to my parents' house right here at Alameda. So I leave there, I call Paul, and I said, man, you know, you're going back to Hampton tonight. He said, yes. I said, if you can wait, take my mom's car to Alameda, drop it off, get my truck, bring my truck in the morning. And then, you know, I'll drive your truck to work and we'll, you know, be back in our own vehicles.
Okay. And did that happen?
Yes. Well,
so what?
Yeah, all that transpired until not swapping cars back the following morning.
Okay. So
he took my mom's car, dropped it at Alameda.
Yep.
Alameda's where my parents live.
Okay. Yep.
Got my truck, drove it to, presumably I'm drove it to Moselle.
Okay.
And
so your truck was at Moselle?
My truck was at Moselle, and his truck is at my house. When I got the call that night from Alec, of course, the only car that I don't have my truck, so yep. I get in Paul's truck
yep.
and start driving it back to okay. to meet Alec.
Okay, and your truck was what? What was your vehicle?
My truck's is a F-150.
What color?
White, platinum.
Did you have a firearm in that truck?
Yes, I know it did.
Okay, was there a question of someone, of us taking that firearm? Or
not that I know of.
Okay.
But as far as I know, I mean, my truck was sitting up at the house.
Yeah, I thought someone had a...
I think it was Randy.
Okay.
He had a truck that ultimately got inside later as the perimeter got expanded. Yeah. His truck became inside and they wouldn't let him move it. And I think they maybe took a firearm out of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. So you were in Savannah, took about 545, arranged with Paul, so you communicated with Paul back and forth about switching the cars.
Yep, he went to my house.
He went to your house.
Which is normal. Yep. I mean, he spent Sunday night with us.
Okay.
As well.
And then, did he tell you anything about anything going on with his dogs?
Nope.
Okay. Does Paul, do you know of any friends that Paul has, any close friends that he hangs out with, or someone, like, does he have a best friend?
You know, he's got, I would say that Nolan Tootin's probably both of the boys. I mean, there's mutual friends, but mm-hmm. Rogan, Gibson, those are the boys that over the years of what they've always been there. Okay. I would say they're probably the closest.
Does Paul have a girlfriend?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think he's just been dating.
Okay. Is he dating anybody?
I don't think he's dating anybody.
Okay. Does he have an ex-girlfriend or anything like that that would have anybody recently? And I'm just trying to, like, kind of like a victimology, trying to, you know, we ask everybody, you know, hey, who are they friends with? And several people say the name, same name. You're like, okay, we'll talk to that person.
Yeah. So his only, his prior girlfriend was Morgan. Was one of the girls mm-hmm. in that boating accident.
Yeah. And has he dated anybody since?
I think he's dated, a fair amount. I mean, sure. But he's not become in a relationship, to my knowledge, with anybody.
Okay. You know,
more than a few dates, possibly.
Okay. And you wouldn't know who those people were?
No.
Okay.
There's nobody serious that I knew of, and he probably would have told me.
Sure,
and if it was anybody of significance.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you said he spends a lot of time at your house.
Yeah.
You know, brings a girl over, a girl shows up at the shop, you know, whatever.
No.
All right. Can you think of anything, and I'm going to have to ask you some questions about Alec as well.
Sure.
Can you think of anything of concern that the family, any issues that Alec might be going through, any changes in his behavior recently, last couple months?
You know, again, he's been dealing with the same issues with the...
And for the purpose of this interview, what issues are you talking about?
The gossip that's been going around
about
the boating accident.
Okay.
Other than that, you know, he's rock solid.
Okay. And now let me ask you this. I don't know him, but anytime you have someone who's obviously something happened on this property, you know, and it's has I asked Alec's behavior the last couple months. You said he seemed rock solid. Has he ever voiced any concerns about being in fear for his safety or anything like that?
Nothing that I would remember. Must not have been significant. If he did, no, he would have said something. He's you know, he's just not that type. He's a strong. Okay. He's a strong one.
Well, let me any issues with alcohol, you know, medication, anything like that.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Are you?
Aware? I mean, we all drink, but
well, sure. But you're all adults. I mean, it's like it's one thing to. But to any drinking to excess?
No.
Okay. Is he a liquor drinker? Is it like a, is it a beer? Is it,
you know, he drank like, if he were on a boat, he probably would drink beer. Mm-hmm. If he were, you know, in the evening, he would have a drink possibly.
Okay. Would you ever think that he would drink in excess?
No, I mean,
okay.
No more than I would.
Sure. And again, I know it's tough, but we just want to get a better understanding.
No, he does not have a drinking problem at all. I mean, that's without a doubt.
All right. And no known medications or anything like that he's been taking? Or
no.
Okay. And he hasn't said anything to you about him being concerned about any type of safety issues, no threats, nothing like that have come in, and nothing?
You know, no, and again, I want to be delicate in how I answer, because none of it is anything that stands out in my mind. Off the street, we'll have somebody saying, well, somebody posted such and such on social media. And, you know, we shrug it off. So nothing stands out as significant to me.
Okay.
We have not sat down and said, listen, we feel like there's a credible threat. We need to, we need to report it. Or
do you know of any cameras that he would have had installed on the property?
Well, I don't. And we had this conversation since Monday night, and it's my understanding he does not.
Okay. Do you have any, did he ever, and obviously it's one thing for me to ask you what Alex has been saying, because Alex is currently participating in an interview himself, but has he made any comments about any employees, anybody that he would have had concerns over?
You talking about his employees?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Are you aware of any of his employees that you have suspicions of?
Well, I wouldn't say suspicion, but the name, and this is all coming up since Monday night,
sure,
is the guy that's working for him out there now, and I've never met him.
Okay.
In fact, I don't know his name. I've heard it, and if you said it, I would probably recognize it. But
okay,
you know,
would
be the only person.
And what would your concerns be about that person? Just, I mean, what has that person done anything recently that would?
Well, yes and no. So I guess it's easier just to kind of tell you what I know about him. And all this is coming since. This is not prior to.
Okay.
You know, this is, we opened up these conversations after the accident or after the incident. So I understand he was, you know, the people that have been talking said he's a little different, a little strange. He's, mm-hmm. They said that he's made some off the wall comments.
Okay.
I never heard it, never met him.
All right.
I do know from Paul, and again, this didn't register to me until after all this, that this guy, they plant dove fields, and you plant sunflowers in a dove field. And I was told, Paul said that he believed that this guy had sprayed the dove fields with a chemical that killed the sunflowers.
Yeah, which would then keep the doves.
Oh, that's right. So you lose the crop, and you got to start over again.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. And Paul told you that?
And Paul told me that.
Okay. And this is the same guy that,
now again, I don't know his name, but he is an employee, not of Illick at his office or law firm, but out at Moselle.
Okay. CB Rowe?
That's CB, is it?
Okay. CB Rowe. All right. So as it starts raining, we may have to raise our voices a little bit. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Of course, it's going to rain while we're in our car. But do you have any suspicions as to what might have happened?
No. Again, I don't know that I used the word suspicion. I mean, from all the conversations that we have had, I'm talking about family, my brother's law partners, you know, we're all, our minds are racing is, you know, what can we pick on? What can we do to help y'all identify? And, you know, this guy, and I don't ever want to call somebody on something I don't know, but his name, you know, just kept coming back. You know, other than that, I don't know of a single name that was identified. There were people saying, well, people that are retaliating from the boating accident.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, but there was not a name that was brought up.
Just general situation.
General situation.
So you can't think of it. You say a possible CB Rowe, just in the fact that he was he going to be fired for ruining the sunflower seeds?
Well, again, I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I've learned all this since Monday, you know, secondhand talk that, you know, he really was not doing all that great of a job and so on and so forth. But again, I didn't even know he worked for him until Monday.
So
the conversation started after that.
You know, we're looking, we have to look at every angle, and we're looking employees, acquaintances, with Alec, you know, we've asked a little bit about Paul's friends. Do you suspect I keep using the word suspect, so I apologize. I'm a cop.
That's all right. It's okay.
Could you think of any of Paul's friends that may have an axe to grind that outside the boat and the other, you know?
No. Okay. Nobody directly, no.
Can you think of anything, any concern you might have of anything that Maggie, may, any relationship Maggie may have been in that would have, anybody that's in her circle?
Not that I'm aware of. Again, I'm trying to separate the two. So I've learned a lot through these conversations since Monday.
Okay.
Prior to any of that, nothing.
Okay. And is there anything that you've learned since Monday that would be of assistance to the investigation?
It, as far as from Maggie's standpoint, or anything, but no.
Yeah.
CDCB.
Yeah.
That's the only name, direct name.
Okay.
That I would tie to
and
questions.
When we do these, you know, type of interviews where we're having to, like, it's almost like we have to pull information only because you may not be thinking of something
right
until we ask it, and you're like, well, there may be this one.
No, that's right.
So that's why we're just kind of casting a net, trying to, you know, can you think of any friends or anybody in Alex's circle anything that may have gone south, or you know, anybody that may have wanted to hurt him or the family?
No, it's just no, not at all.
Okay.
Nobody in the circle. I mean, again, you hear the rumors.
Sure.
And that's the one thing that, you know, that.
Well, I mean, we, you know, the thing is, I understand that, you know, that the rumors, and those are tough to kind of to cut.
Well, that's right. You don't know where they are.
So, you know, this is a general interview from, you know, where we're trying to get as much information as possible. And I think that as y'all, you know, family and friends that are here talking to us now, you know, we're just trying to obtain as much information as possible so we can try to get a better idea or a better understanding of what
That's right.
really happened. So when you got there, let's go back to the night of the 7th. So you get a call. To the best of your recollection, what does Alec tell you when he calls?
He tells me that they've. I think he used I think he said they've been shot, and it was a kind of a mix between a cry and desperation.
Okay.
And he says, "Get here quick as you can." And it was a very short. I mean, I wasn't on the phone. 10 seconds, maybe. I don't. Okay. It was very short.
Okay.
And of course, I'm immediately running, trying to get dressed. And now, I do believe and at that point, things are going all through my head. I think he called me back a few minutes later. You know, in the same tone, same manner. And I think he said that he didn't say ambulance or first, he didn't say, but he says, "John, they've covered them up. I think they're dead." Or I remember him saying they covered him up or covered them up.
Okay.
Indicating they're dead.
So when you get there, at what point do you see Alec?
Oh, man. So Chief drives me up to where we see the congregation of you know, law enforcement. Of course, I jump out, and I wasn't even waiting on him. I jump out, and I'm just running up there. Mm-hmm. And I get there, and somebody from Collin County, I don't recall who it was, stopped me and said, "Hey, you can't go up." I said, "I'm going. It's my brother. You can't go through here. And they directed me and told me how I could get around to where Alec was. And so Chief loaded me up, and we drove into another entrance and went around the scene. And of course, I saw Alec and just jumped out and just ran to him. Yeah, we hugged, and I mean, it was very obvious what they weren't alive. So.
Do you remember what Alec was wearing that night?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah. I do. He was wearing a T-shirt.
Okay.
It was a T-shirt from, I was amazed that he still had them, and I was amazed that it fit him. I don't know that it fit him because I think I saw his belly. Mm-hmm. But it was a T-shirt that said Black Sheep on it. It was the name of my sport fish boat that I had.
Okay, okay.
And I remember seeing it and thinking I hadn't seen those shirts in a long time.
So it's an old shirt?
Yeah, it's an old T-shirt.
When did y'all make these T-shirts?
It would have been 2009, 10, okay. 11, somewhere in there.
So 10 years ago or so?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, what color was the T-shirt?
It's a white T-shirt.
Okay, okay. So you had that on, and then?
Then I think he had shorts on.
Okay, okay. And where did y'all go? I mean, so without, and then y'all?
Yeah, and there were several law enforcement guys right there with him, and there were some of the law partners were there. And we just stood there in shock and just really just, and I think at that point, nothing was happening. They were waiting, Collin County was waiting on sled to come process the scene.
Okay.
And at some point, I don't know, it was an hour, two, 3 hours later, we, you know, they were doing their job and we all left and went back to the house.
Okay. So, you know, like I said, we have to conduct a thorough investigation and, you know, it's not a shock that any time a spouse is found deceased, we have to work just as hard to investigate the surviving spouse, whether it be to clear them or to find information that, you know, to find out if they were involved.
Right.
So I know that, like, whatever's in the media, that's not some secret plan that SLED has about, hey, Alec Murdaugh's a person of interest.
Right.
At this point in an investigation, there are several persons of interest, and we have to kind of start parsing through the folks involved with the boat, the folks involved with the lawsuit, stuff like that. So right. I don't want to seem like I'm specifically asking questions just about Alec, but the problem is that you're not going to know specific information about other parties. For the purpose of this interview, the information that you have is about Alec. So that's why I don't want you to leave here thinking.
Ask anything. It's the conversations I've had to have in the past day with my dad and everything else. It can't be any harder.
Because look, I mean, I know that, like, I see your emotion in talking and thinking and speaking about Maggie. She was practically best friends with your wife. I've seen your emotion in how you talk about Paul and the fact that he worked for you and spent time with you and at your house. I know how much love you had for them. So we're not doing this for anything other than to find out, because we owe it to them. So when you came to the house, Alec was there. Did you see anything in the house that may have, you know, that maybe were missing? Did you see anything in the house that seemed out of sort?
Come on, when we went back to his house?
Yes.
No, I mean, it, I hadn't been there in a few months, so it all looked the same. I mean, they had been remodeling.
Sure.
So we really had, you know, they haven't been doing much out there while that remodel was going on.
They've been remodeling Moselle or remodeling?
Remodeling Moselle.
Okay, okay.
And I'm not even sure when they finished it.
Okay.
But everything looked like it normally does to me.
Okay, okay. And nothing Again, I know I'm asking you a question about your brother, but like, did anything seem out of sorts with Alec and how he was?
I mean, everything was out of sorts. I mean, hell, he just lost his son and his wife. I mean, he was. I can't imagine what he was, what his was going through his mind. I can't comprehend what was going through mine, much less his.
Yeah.
It appeared that, you know, he would have moments of strength where he would straighten himself up and then just would break down.
Absolutely. And again, like I said, we're asking these questions about every person that we talk to. It just so happens that you had interaction with Alec versus any other potential person that we're, you know, if you had been hanging out with CB, I'd be asking you questions about CB.
Right.
So you said that you drove Paul's truck. So you were in Paul's truck that day.
Well, I believe it's Alec's truck. But yes, that's right.
Correct. So it's registered to Alec, but Paul drives it. And it's when you said earlier, you know, you had Paul's truck.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So one thing that we'd like to obtain from you is the fact that you were in the Moselle house after the incident.
I was.
You were at the crime scene.
Yeah.
We know that obviously you weren't there because, you know, the embassy police chief Alexander picked you up and whatnot. But so we'd like to obtain a buckle swab from you for comparison purposes. So when we're trying to send this stuff to the lab, and what happens when we send stuff to the lab is that an unknown DNA sample will come up.
Right.
And unless you're in the CODIS system already, we have to go back to square one. Given the fact that we are processing Paul's truck, you were in Paul's truck.
Processing the truck when you say Paul's truck, you know, he's got a truck that is his permanent truck, if
yes.
you will.
But yes. Well, the thing is that, so there is a violent incident at the Moselle property.
Yeah.
There is a truck missing that's found down the road,
right,
abandoned. Now, we can go back and start piecing everything together, but it's just one of those things that, like, so if we'd like to get a consent from you to get a buckle swab, so when we are running for fingerprints and everything else, your DNA is gonna show up.
You get anything you need.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to.
No, look, anything, I promise you.
Okay, because like I said, it's just an uncomfortable.
And I'll even say, you don't even have to tread lightly. I mean, I'm telling you, these whole conversations have been tough. So
yeah,
just any pride out of me, however you can get it, I'm willing. So.
Well, I appreciate that. So what I'm gonna do is that I'm gonna. We have a form that's standard. I'm gonna read it and have this piece that you can fill out, and it just calls for a buckle swab that we'll secure here in a second. So and I'll just read it for the sake of the interview. And you can say your name. Do hereby freely, voluntarily, without threats, pressure, or coercion of any kind, consent to a search of my person by agents of the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division and individuals in their company. Location and description of premises searched. Swabs of the left and right inner cheeks of the mouth for a DNA sample. The sample will be used for comparison purposes in an ongoing investigation. So, let me fill out. Actually, you can get a pen here.
Boom. Ready, just a minute, right here.
Yeah. So, signature person consenting. So, I need you to sign your name, and then you can print it right next to it. Obviously, in relation to the prints, I just put owner. I mean, it's your.
Oh, you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Date of birth.
Okay.
And there's the other corresponding information.
What's today's date?
Today is the
10th.
The 10th, I'm 10th, sorry.
Okay. Yep. In the time is 2:42.
Okay.
Well, you need me to write my name in here? Well,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. Not that this isn't going to be invasive. It's just me not wanting to touch the swab.
break the seal. Oh, actually, there's going to be two. So if you take one out, yep, and then you can just rub it on the inside of your right.
Just on the cheek?
Yes, for about 15 seconds.
We're good?
Yep, yes, sir. Put it in there. Now we can take, yep.
Opposite side?
Yes, sir. So this was right then.
Okay. Why is this called a buckle swab?
That's just the term that they gave it.
No, they call it a cheek swab.
It's a buckle smear swab. It's called many different things.
Is that good?
Yes. Yep. So we're going to put this in here. And the only reason different is that I just happen to have one of these, and this will get placed in here.
Okay.
So. This. All right, so we're almost done here, sir. I just want to go back through and so we've kind of gone through any do you have any idea what might could have happened?
I don't. Maybe it's, I'm kind of like y'all. I mean, I hear bits and pieces of information, and with that, I sit here and say, wonder what could happen, but no, I don't know the cause of it. I mean, obviously, we all know they were shot.
Yeah. And have there been any change in the family dynamic recently? Anything that, we're kind of grasping at any type of, when family members are shot in a way that they were shot, it tends to be, this doesn't seem like a random,
right? We've had a lot of health issues with my parents, but if anything, we've always been such a close, strong family, but yes. If anything, it's made us, stronger and closer.
All right. Were there any issues, marital issues between Alec and Maggie?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Any issues that had developed between Paul and Alec?
Not that I'm aware of.
And any issues that may have developed between Paul and Maggie?
Again, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. And I know that we've talked about this before. Any issues between any of the three, Alec, Maggie, and Paul? Any issues that may have developed with anybody that we haven't talked about? Anybody? I know that.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Paul was pretty open with me about most things, and if Paul knew something, I probably would have known.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. And he hadn't said anything to you recently about.
No.
No. Do you know if Paul is?
The only negative thing he said was about that CB.
Okay. Guy. Did he say anything?
Again, it makes your mind wonder after the fact. But I think he was agitated. I think they were. We were agitated that he messed up had been messing up.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, this has been kind of put in my head after the fact.
Okay. Well, I mean.
But Paul did tell me, he says, listen, he sprayed the dove in, and I got to go plant it again. That kind of talk.
But the thing is that like.
But no harsh words like, no brush ups or anything like that.
So he hadn't had any brush ups with CB or anything like that?
Well, not that I know.
That you're right. Okay. And would Paul have been over at Moselle? So like if CB was going to get fired or spoken to, would Paul be the one to do it? Or?
No, I'm sure not. No.
Okay.
I can't answer that, but I feel confident Alec, Alec handles things.
Yeah, because we're trying to think of like if,
if Paul were out there and fired him, that kind of, that's not, Ellick takes charge on all that.
Okay. Okay. And then let's ask about the guns. And you know, did you know Paul to travel with guns?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's, what type of gun would you, you know, would you, I know it's kind of a vague question to ask, but is there anything?
Would he normally have in his truck? I would assume a shotgun. Shotgun. If he's like me, I either keep a shotgun or a 22. I mean, we have farms. We're always shooting pigs whatnot.
Have you ever been down to those dog kennels before?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Was he known? Would he walk from the house down to the kennels? Would that be normal for him to be down there?
Well, for him to be at the dog kennel?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that's probably, you know, and again, I'm only speculating.
Sure.
But Paul was an outdoors person. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if he were at Moselle, unless it's pouring down rain or it's time to eat or time to go to bed, he's not sitting inside.
Okay.
He's out working, playing in the fields, checking on things, just enjoying the property.
So he'd be down there. And was he holding? Do you have any knowledge of anybody else's dogs that he might have had in the kennels?
Well, I do. I do now. I know he was holding Rogan Gibson's dog, and he was holding, I believe, my dad's dog.
Okay. Okay.
Since my dad's health turned.
And then would it be normal for Maggie to be down there as well?
Well, in the conversation we've had, I found out yes, it is. It is normal for her to go down there.
Okay. How would they normally get down there? Would you know?
Based on what I've heard since Monday, is Paul would always drive something, and it didn't matter. And it sounds like that if it had keys in it, gas in it, he would drive it.
Okay. Okay.
You know, there was no one favorite.
But you don't know how he would have driven down there.
You talking about then?
Yeah.
That night?
Monday
night. No.
Okay. And how would Maggie get down there?
Well, and I've been told since Monday as well that a lot of times she would walk. A lot of times she would, you know, take her car or.
Okay.
It probably would be her car or Walt,
or the golf cart. You say you've answered these codes. You know, I've learned since then. They've told me who's they.
This is, you know, we've had a close knit with the family and with Ellick's law partners that are very close with all of them.
Okay,
and you know, we've been huddling together trying to make
sense of it.
Make sense of it all. That's exactly right. So, okay.
So Maggie would sometimes walk down there.
That's what I've been told.
Okay. Okay. And then Paul would, he would walk. He would,
that, according to what Ellick tells me, Paul would always drive something.
Okay. And you had Paul's you had one of the trucks.
Yeah.
Paul's what was Paul's other truck? You said his.
It is a white F-150.
Okay. And do you know where that's located at?
I do now. It's at an auto shop here in town for repairs.
Okay. So his go-to truck is his everyday truck is in the shop.
That's correct.
And was that why he was driving the F-250?
Presumably so, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And there's no... So he had come and gotten your truck, gone back to his house, and your truck was where?
My truck was parked at the house.
Okay. So, and how far do you think it is from the house to the kennels?
You know, I would guess it's probably a quarter of a mile.
Okay. Okay.
Several hundred yards.
Hundred yards. Oh, yeah. Okay. But he didn't drive your truck down there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was at the house when I got there.
Okay. So you don't know if it was down there and then driven back?
I would assume that he would have driven my truck, parked it since it's mine, and then gotten in one of their cars, trucks, I mean.
Okay, okay. When you got there, your truck that he borrowed was parked up
there. Was parked right in front of the house, where you normally would park.
Okay. And do you know if they kept any guns back at the kennels?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've never, they don't have a gun rack that's obvious when you pull up or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But like you said, I mean.
Laying around, I would say it's very possible.
Yeah. And would Maggie ever, do you know, Maggie, would she carry a gun when she?
I don't think Maggie was a hunter or shooter. I think she's.
Okay, okay.
She was a lady's lady.
But if Paul was coming from the house down to the kennels, you'd expect him to have a gun?
I mean, he wouldn't carry a gun just because he was going there. But if he were in his truck and he's riding the property, I would assume that he's not going to ride that property without a gun. Mm-hmm. You know, and just, and not for safety reasons, for, you know, again, it's loaded with hogs and...
For practical purposes.
You know, it's, well, it's just kind of, it's kind of what you do. I mean...
No, I understand. I understand. You know, you have 1,700 acres.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You're going to drive around and you're going to have, you know, because if you have to get out for something...
That's right. Whether you shoot snakes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it would amaze me, or I would be surprised if he were in a vehicle riding the property and didn't have a gun.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Just,
all right. And do you have any knowledge of Paul firing any weapons that night?
Well, I learned that today. I heard that he and Alec both had, I think they said they shot a pistol.
Okay. You know, so you're mentioning, I'm assuming Alec is telling the other.
Yeah, I assume so.
Okay. So he fired,
what I heard in here was they were, I think Paul and Alec were, and again, secondhand information, mm-hmm. but Paul and Alec were riding the property. And at some point, whether they pulled up to a pond, I think he started telling and he kind of got broken up, but I think he was saying that Paul was bragging that he was a better shot than Alec, and so they set up a target and, you know, tried their skills and shot a couple of times.
Okay. Are there any other spots on that property that I mean, you've got the main house, you got the garage, you got the kennels. Are there any other, like, outbuildings on that?
Yeah, there's property? A cabin right up by the kennels.
Okay, and who lives in that cabin?
I don't think anybody lives in it now.
Is that the green one?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Is there a housekeeper that stays out there?
I don't know. Okay. I don't think so.
Okay. So you've since learned since the incident that Paul and Alec drove around the property and may have fired a pistol a couple of times.
Right.
Okay. All right. Let's see if there's anything else. Have you got any questions? Any questions for us?
Well, not so much questions, but one of your agents, the female that I walked the house with at Moselle, what's her name?
Red hair?
Yes.
Agent McAllister.
McAllister.
Yep.
She, Katie McAllister.
Yep.
So, and I asked her then, I said, listen, I said, you know, when something like this, when this happened, it, you know, I've kind of gotten a little bit of tidbits of information. I had a guy call me and I wanted to tell her about it, and I thought she was going to call me back. And anyway, I had a guy call me. His name is Lawrence Murdoch, for not related.
Okay.
And he said he read somewhere whether if there was anything suspicious to the general public, please let us know or let somebody know.
Absolutely.
Okay. He called me and said that he saw a black SUV off of... and I don't know what road it is, but he described it as when you're leaving Hampton, you turn left at Crockettville, I believe he said. And there was some reference over the past several, half a year or so, about a hit and run that supposedly they tried to say that Paul had something to do with.
Okay.
Or Buster had something to do with. Lawrence Murdoch said he saw a car, a black SUV sitting there at the site where I assume there's some type of a marker there. Mm-hmm. And he said, John, I don't know whether it means anything or not, but it was, it stood out to me and I wanted to let you know.
Okay.
And so that's, you may could get more information from him about
sure.
it, but that's what he told me.
Do you have a contact number for him?
I can get that for you.
Okay.
Can I do that while we still?
I think so. Yes, sir.
Just
minimize. I think it's, yep. And just go to the green phone.
Okay.
Yep. And look for,
all right, so his name is Lawrence Murdoch.
Okay.
Number.
Hi, you're in your contacts.
Oh, yeah.
Do you happen to have the contact for that employee of yours, Chance?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay,
so. Chance Peters.
Okay.
Paul stayed with you Sunday night?
He stayed with us Sunday night.
How often did he stay with you?
Well, he just started working the Monday previous, Tuesday previous.
Because it's closer to the shop.
Yes, if I remember him telling me, I think he may have come from Charleston instead of driving to Moselle back to the Bluffton store or Oakley store. He stayed with us that night.
Where was he staying prior to that, you know?
Well, I mean, he lives in Moselle.
Where did he stay? He said he came back from school. Where did he stay? For the sake of the interview, where did he go to school at?
He goes to Carolina, okay. South Carolina.
Okay, and where does he live at when he's attending South Carolina?
I don't know.
Okay.
In Columbia somewhere.
Okay, does he stay in a dorm or an apartment?
I'm assuming an apartment.
Okay, but you don't have any knowledge of that?
No, I've never been there.
Okay.
You know, with COVID, I don't think anybody went. I don't even know that they were in school in person. I'm not sure how it was.
But he was living in Columbia.
Yeah, I think he was living in Columbia.
Okay, would he come home often or?
Yeah. You know, when he wasn't working for me and it wasn't some special event or season, I would talk to him occasionally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say he probably came home a fair amount. I think he enjoyed being down here.
Okay. And where did he stay at Moselle?
To my knowledge, he would.
Okay. You don't have any knowledge of him staying anywhere else?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure I would assume he's just like any other young adult that is dating. He probably goes wherever the crowd is and... Mm-hmm. That's what I gather he being in Charleston for.
All right, but you don't have any direct knowledge of that, anything specific?
No.
All right, you have any other questions for us?
No, I expressed it to David when we were inside. You know, we would like to know more about, even if, and I understand you can't release details to jeopardize the investigation, but we would, and I'm assuming that Alec or whoever is saying the same thing, we would like for somebody to kind of at least, you know, communicate that of if there's something that can be told or any little pieces to help.
Well, sometimes, and I can give you a little bit of that. So when we, you know, this happens late Monday night, by Tuesday, Wednesday, and here it is Thursday, so we're not quite 3 days out. You know, it takes our crime scene to come down to start pulling the information.
Right.
You know, any analysis that we're able to get done. So there are things that there may be something that we collected the very first night that may be key to solving this.
Right.
And it might take us 3 to 4 days to get that particular test run, to get the results back. So anything that you know, and we won't release anything to the media. We don't do that.
Right. So, and unfortunately, that's what we, you know, that's.
And I think that people
are bringing that to us, and
people are assuming when there's an absence of information, the media will either create a narrative and to fill that void, or they'll reach out to somebody who, you know, presents themselves as having inside information or knowledge of the case. And then they'll run with that. And that's how a lot of this, you know, like, you know, with the media coming out and saying, oh, well, you know, there's this many guns used. There was that. You know, there are certain things that are getting out that are outside of our control.
Right.
And really the only person that we'll speak to would be, I mean, Alec is the victim because he's the surviving spouse. So we'll provide that information to him. But sometimes it's tough because we don't have much to say so early on.
No, that's right. And I understand that. I guess just the simple way of requesting is if there becomes some information that can be shareable, that could help ease our minds. And, you know, I guess I brought it up to one of my dad's law partners. I had my wife and, you know, of course, we don't live here. Mm-hmm. I had my wife and I have a... And we spent last night here, and you know, when I turned the lights off, I thought to myself, and I never like this. I said, you know, all we say,
sure.
And that's just not a good feeling. It's just so anything, any information that can help us without jeopardizing or messing up an investigation would be helpful, I guess.
And that kind of goes both ways, where I know that if something is going on that we're not seeing, because obviously this wasn't an accident, right? It wasn't like you know, doesn't appear to be a robbery gone bad because nothing was taken, nothing was missing. If there's something afoot that we're not aware of, just like you said earlier, hey, pride goes out the window.
Right.
You have to look at every, to pick at every little, pull every string. If there's something that comes out that, you know, if you're sitting here with your wife and you're starting to second guess your safety, because if there's something going on where if there's somebody's done something to warrant someone trying to.
Well, that's just it. There was nothing that warranted. It's just in the back of your mind.
Well, as this starts coming out, we need to do what's best, not just for, you know, to protect Alec, but we need to do what's best to protect you, protect your dad, protect your mom, protect your wife. It kind of expands beyond that. So, you know, if there's something that y'all hear of, it's just as important to tell us about
it.
You know, I understand that, we want to do what we can to solve this, to give Alec peace of mind.
Right.
We understand that. And it's always best to, you know, we spent the last couple of days, matter of fact, this morning I was with some folks from the boat.
Right.
You know, because we have to check their whereabouts and it's just as easy to, you know, we track folks down to either see if they have something to tell us or if we can clear them right away. And, you know, I know it's tough where we're not giving y'all information.
No, you know, and I respect the part. I understand you can't give but so much, but you know, just what you just said is, you know, when you said, you know, we've already met with some of the folks from the boat. That's, you know, that's some of the questions that are in our minds. Of course, we know you're doing a good job and we know you're doing it right, but hearing you say that, you know, we've made that contact, it's reassuring.
Yes, and so, I mean, just like you said, there's a situation with the hit and run. There's a situation with the boat. Unfortunately, there are a couple instances where Paul has, you know, kind of been involved in circumstances, whether he's responsible or not, whatever, that's not for us to decide. But there's a lot of strings for us to pull on.
Right.
And sometimes that takes time. You know,
I know y'all gonna do your best, and you know, just as much as y'all can do to help us heal, as I guess is what,
absolutely,
you know, and move through this.
My heart breaks for Mr. Alex and for the rest of the family. You know, I can't imagine the pain and the grief that collectively y'all are suffering. And it is tough because we're not gonna leave any stone unturned.
Right.
And unfortunately, in these cases, in his moment of grief, here we have to come and say, well, we need to interview you.
Right, that's right.
And sometimes folks get frustrated because they're like, well, why are you wasting time on me? And
that's
it's
right.
And it's one of those situations where it's like,
we understand it.
You know, and luckily, y'all having your family having that prosecutorial experience, y'all know how we work. And it's like, it's just as important that we identify persons involved. It's just as important for us to identify persons we can say, hey, look, we've conducted those.
Right.
You know, that part of the investigation, and these folks are not, you know, involved. And because that's nothing he should have to carry around.
No, that's right.
You know, the innuendo and the rumor, you know, we need to do our best to find out for Paul and for Maggie, and then to give Alex some peace. So, like I said, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you sitting here with me. If you know, you got my card, if you can think of anything else that, you know, obviously there's lots of folks involved in this, you know, you can call me, you can call Agent McAllister, you can call Agent Owen. We're all on the same team here. So, if you can think of something else that maybe I forgot to ask.
And I mentioned that to Katie when we were at the house. I just said, you know, who should we call if something pops up, or
well, I can tell you, whichever.
So it really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because if you got my number, you can call, you can text. We'll forward it to everybody. We're all hands on deck on this. So this is our office. This is our team. So all information gets shared. So if you can think of anything else, by all means. Is there anything I may have didn't ask you that anything that
nothing that I can think of?
Okay. Well, like I said, I'm terribly sorry for the loss that y'all suffered, you know, and hopefully.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And hopefully we get some answers that we can give y'all soon.
Well, other than information, is there anything that we could be doing that helps y'all that y'all may not have access? I mean, I know, I assume y'all have access to most anything, whether it's social media, whether it's it's rewards, whatever. I mean,
well, the stuff when it comes to social media and stuff like that, like the more that we have access to, like I know that that like Paul's cell phone was recovered, not having the password, stuff like that.
Right.
If people know,
do y'all still not have the password?
As of this point, no.
Okay.
So if that's something that y'all could get for us, that'd be helpful, because we have to send it to be examined when they try to. I mean,
and that's something I can work on. I can reach out to more of his friends. If I assume y'all probably already have.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think there's some things that we can ask that, and sometimes people are protective. They're like, oh, I'm not going to give the police my friend's password. But if that's something that the family knows or something, same thing with Maggie. If anybody can, you know, anything that can assist us in getting into these phones, and not that the phones are going to have.
Well, y'all got into Maggie's.
Yes. But it's again, when.
But yes.
So when you get into a phone without the password, you know, when you get in with a password, you get 100% of the information.
Right.
When you get in without the password, there may be something you miss. Yes. So when, you know, we have to look at, I mean, these phones may not hold the key to what happened, but who's to say that it doesn't show one little small piece that helps break this. So cellular devices are important. If you think of anybody that may have had contact with Maggie or Paul or anybody that day, who would Paul have worked with that day?
I can find out.
Could you find out who worked at the store with him?
I know the employees were there, but I don't know what jobs he did because I wasn't there.
Absolutely. That's something that would be helpful. If you could find out, so maybe we can track down that. Just if Paul had a conversation with someone on the phone that
while he was working along someone.
And maybe they overheard something.
Okay.
You know, and at this point, every little bit will help. We can't, I wish it was like it is on television where you can just, you know, take a picture and have it examined and boom, you get to solve it in a nice 44-minute episode. But if someone out this person's hiding in plain sight, you know, they're driving around, they're walking around right now, and probably paying close attention to this, and anything we can do to help identify that person would be helpful.
Okay.
So, all right, sir. Well, it is 3:10 p.m. and we are concluding the interview.
Okay. That's the raw audio of the John Marvin interview between SLED investigators and Alec Murdaugh's brother right after the murders had taken place. Take from it what you will. We have more audio like this, and we're going to probably continue to see and hear more audio like this from other members of the family and from the investigation as it gets released, as we get closer and closer to finding out if Alec Murdaugh may get a new murder trial. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In a quiet Chicago suburb, a star wrestler goes missing weeks before his high school graduation, shattering his mother's carefully curated image of the perfect family. Upstanding Young Man by Sharon Doering is a pulse-pounding thriller described as tense, evocative, and surprising. Available now, wherever books are sold.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.